So as we prepare to hear God's word to us this morning, let us join together in prayer. God of life, your spirit raised Jesus from the dead. Your spirit inspired the prophets and writers of scripture. Your spirit draws us to Christ and helps us acknowledge him as Lord. We ask that you would send your spirit now, that as your word is read and proclaimed, that we would have deeper insight, encouragement, faith, and hope through the proclamation of the Easter gospel to the glory of Jesus. Amen. Our first lesson for this morning is taken from Luke's gospel, the 24th chapter, beginning at the 13th verse. This is actually an account of something that happened later in the day on that first Easter. Listen to God's word. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened, and as they talked about and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one living in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened here in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." He said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, "Stay here with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost gone." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened up the scriptures to us?" Here ends our gospel lesson for this morning. And our second lesson is taken from the letter of 1 Peter, the first chapter, beginning at verse 3. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Here ends our scripture readings for this morning. As they made the long walk back to Emmaus, Cleopas and his companion knew what it meant to lose hope. Just a week ago, they, along with Jesus' disciples, were on top of the world. Jesus, the one in whom they, for whom they had given up so much, had, you know, been journeying with them towards Jerusalem. He had finished his journey to the holy city in triumph. He was acclaimed by the crowds as deliverer and king. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And though they weren't really sure how he was going to do it, there was every expectation that now Jesus would show his hand and he would be elevated to the position so richly deserved over Israel. They had hope that their dreams would be quickly fulfilled and Jesus would reign over all. But it unraveled quickly, oh so quickly. The hardening of the religious officials, the fickle mood of the crowd, betrayal of one of their own, never did trust that Judas guy, he had shifty eyes. Then the arrest, the trial, the agony of the cross, and it was over. All but one of the 12 deserted him. And now they were walking away in despair from the place to which they had so hopefully journeyed. But something would happen. Something happened on that third day which would change everything. Jesus rose from the dead. New Testament scholar N.T. Wright writes, "The resurrection was not simply God doing a wacky miracle one time. This was the turning point of his history. The resurrection changed everything. The resurrection changed everything for these dejected disciples. The resurrection changed everything for the world. The resurrection changed everything for those who struggle with hopelessness. The women first experienced this at the empty tomb. They saw the tomb was empty and they saw a vision of angels that told them that Jesus had risen. Cleopas and his companion experienced this when breaking bread with this, what they thought was a stranger, their eyes were opened and they recognized Jesus. And their hearts burned with everything that Jesus had taught them as they walked along the way. Other disciples would experience Jesus later that week, that evening when he'd come among them and proclaim, "Peace be with you." The resurrection changed everything. 30 years later, Peter reflected on the significance of the resurrection in our lesson for this morning from the letter he wrote. Writing to people who were undergoing great trials, probably they were being persecuted for their faith in Jesus, Peter set the theme for the letter in these words: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." This is the central theme of Peter's letter. Indeed, it is the central theme of the gospel, that through the resurrection of Jesus, there is a new and there is a living hope for those who believe. And that is a hope that is manifested in several different ways. The first thing is that we have a living hope through Jesus' victory. You know, when you read through the gospels, it is pretty clear that Jesus made some very outrageous claims. He claimed to be able to forgive sin. He claimed to be the one who is going to establish God's kingdom. He claimed to be the only way to the Father, the way, the truth, and the life, and that indeed he and the Father were one. I don't know about you, but you know, those strike me as pretty bold things to proclaim. And throughout history, there have been many unbalanced or manipulative people who have made fanciful claims such as this, claims to greatness. So how do we know that Jesus was not merely one of these? Well, Peter's answer is that we know this because of the resurrection. Jesus not only proclaimed who he was, but he demonstrated who he was by being raised from the dead. The ground of Christian hope is inextricably tied to the resurrection. In 1 Peter 3:18, Peter writes that Jesus was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. And the point that Peter is making is that Jesus died on the cross as the one who can forgive our sins and reconcile us to God. And the truth of that claim is confirmed in that he was raised from the dead. Through the resurrection, Jesus is revealed as all he claimed to be. He has been raised to the right hand, God's right hand, with all things in submission to him. We have living hope in the resurrection. For through the resurrection, Jesus is revealed as the only Savior and Lord who is able to reconcile us to God and give us a new and a living hope. We have victory through Jesus' resurrection. Secondly, we have the living hope of Jesus' continuing presence. Now, Jesus spent 40 days after his resurrection with his disciples. But he didn't spend 40 days in the resurrection appearances only to announce at the end, "Well, I'm out of here. You guys make the best you can from now on. And oh, by the way, I want you to spread this message to the very end of the earth. See you later." No. He was, as he ascended to the right hand of the Father in heaven, he left his followers a wonderful promise. Remember what that is? "And I am with you always, even to the end of the age." I am with you always. The living hope of the resurrection is revealed in Jesus' promise to be present with his people. One of the great themes throughout that runs from the scripture from beginning to end is God's promise to his people. You see it in the Old Testament. The primary focus of the promise is this: "I will be your God and you will be my people." And that promise is traced throughout, you know, the very beginning of scripture, through the books of Moses, into the prophets. And though the people lived that imperfectly because of their disobedience, the promise was that the day was going to come when that would be perfectly manifested between God and his people. And that happened through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. On the night before his death, Jesus had told his disciples that it was for their own good that he was leaving them. And I can tell them thinking, "How can that possibly be, Jesus?" Well, Jesus promised that if he left them, he would return and be with them in even a more intimate way. And the resurrection account in the Gospel of John explains what he meant. When Jesus appeared to his disciples on that Easter evening, and in the midst of that meeting, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." An act that was clearly meant to communicate the reality of Jesus' continued presence. You see, by Jesus' gift of the Spirit, he promised that he would not simply be with them, but that he would dwell in them. And that Jesus is with his people no matter where we go or no matter what we do. You see, the resurrection was not simply a yearly hurrah reminding us of Jesus' greatness and pointing us to the promise of heaven someday. It is a reality in which we can walk day by day because it is reality that brings Jesus by his Spirit with us. The 19th century writer G.K. Chesterton was once approached by a reporter on a busy London street. "Sir, I understand that you have recently become a Christian. May I ask you one question?" "Certainly," was the reply. "If the risen Christ suddenly appeared at this moment and was standing behind you, what would you do?" Chesterton reportedly looked the man square in the eye and replied, "He is." You see, the resurrected Jesus is present with his followers through his Holy Spirit. Our God and Savior is not remote or inaccessible, but dwells in our very midst. As we gather to worship, Jesus is here. As we go forth to serve, Jesus is with us. As we seek to live by faith, Jesus is present to encourage and guide and challenge. And all the while, he is making us into his image, bringing forth what Paul describes as the fruit of the Spirit by which he changes us more and more into his image from the inside out. The resurrection promises us that we are not alone, but that God's, Jesus' very presence is with us by the Holy Spirit. "I am with you always. I am with you always." Now, we need to be very clear that the promise of resurrection is not the guarantee of an easy, trouble-free life. If you want to dispel that myth, just look at what happened to the disciples. Peter acknowledged that all the recipients of this very letter that he wrote were faced with all kinds of trials and tribulations. He didn't promise that faith in the resurrection would spare them. He didn't proclaim that this was somehow the result of their failure, their lack of faith. You see, though we walk in the reality of resurrection, though we walk with the presence of the Spirit, we still live in the context of a fallen, broken world, and we deal with that reality around us and in our circumstances, but also in the continued fallenness of our own hearts. You see, God's promise is not that we would be removed from the pain and the brokenness of the world, but that even in the midst of them, God is with us. By the risen Christ, as he says, shielding us in verse 5 by his power. You see, the word used in verse 5 for shielding is a military word that it talks about planting a garrison in the midst of a city. You know, if a king wanted to make secure his claim on a city and protect it, what did he do? He planted a garrison there. And that's the word that, the image that Peter uses. And the image is that even though God's people may go through times of great trouble and distress, the very presence of the risen Christ is among us, preserving us and defending us. Yes, even refining us by that trial for his purposes for us to hold firm. "I am with you always." What a wonderful promise we have in the resurrection of Jesus. You know, this has been a difficult year for many folks. You know, there are people that I'm looking out on right now who have been through some hard things. People who have had to deal with illness in their lives and loss in their families. Others who have or are facing great transitions in their life or uncertainty. Others deal with ongoing brokenness in the deep places of their hearts or dealing with strained and painful relationships. There are some that walk with a deep disappointment that things just have not turned out as they hoped. The promise that Jesus gives us in the resurrection is that we don't walk through any of this alone. "I am with you always. I am with you always." The resurrected Christ is no less accessible to us than was the Christ of history as he walked the roads with his disciples. Our living hope is that while we may or may not be delivered from a particular difficult circumstance, we have a relationship with a risen Savior who is with us and will stand with us and encourage us and support us every step along the way. You see, we have a living hope. A living hope of Christ's victory, a living hope of Christ's presence through the Spirit. Finally, we also have a living hope of Jesus' promise of an inheritance. A living hope that is particularly poignant for many of us who are here today. The promise of an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Kept in heaven for you. You see, in Jesus' resurrection, we not only have the promise of a victory, the promise of Christ's presence, but we have the promise of a future. Jesus said to his disciples on the last night he was with them, you know, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And the promise of the resurrection is that in Jesus Christ we can know and we can live in the confidence that this mortal life that we experience is not all that there is. But there is a future of glory with our Savior. There is a day that will come when we who live by faith in Christ will be with Him forever in a new heaven and a new earth. There is a day that will come when God will make everything new, including us. And we will dwell with Him and with all redeemed in this perfection forever. As John poignantly shows in the book of Revelation, you know, that day will come when He will wipe every tear from our eyes and death will be no more and there'll be no more crying or pain or suffering because God has made everything new. And that as Jesus was raised to life, glorious in who He is, so we will be raised to new life in Him. And that we, as God's people, can look at our own future and we can look at those whom we know and love who are in the Lord and know that there is a living hope. There is a future. There is a life. Because Jesus is raised from the dead. The risen Christ is present in the world by His Spirit. He longs to touch our lives as He did the disciples with His hope. But sad reality is that many, too many, hurry through this life absolutely oblivious to His presence. You know, we're so focused on ourselves, seeking to fill, you know, our lives with lesser and lesser joys. And even many of us who have met Him, quite honestly, often don't pay Him much mind. We may give Jesus a nod every now and again. We do our religious duties and cry out when things get really bad. But, you know, very often our hearts are focused essentially on this world. And I say that as someone who struggles with that reality as much as any of you do. But the tragedy of that is that He offers us so much more. He offers us the intimacy of a personal relationship with God. He offers us the transforming of power of His presence. And in even the most trying, seemingly hopeless situations, there can be hope of resurrection. You see, the same God who raised up Jesus can raise us even in the midst of our brokenness. And the same power which is at work to revitalize cells 3 days dead can restore breath to life and restore breath to lifeless lungs is the power given to us in the risen Christ. The living hope of the resurrection is that Jesus has the power to transform our lives. Indeed, that's what He wants for each and every one of us. Not necessarily to make our lives easy and happy. Indeed, trial is often the means by which we are refined and perfected. But Jesus' desire to create us, in us, his mind and his character and his life, so that individually and collectively we might be his presence, demonstrating his living hope to the world. And so, you know, as we come together on this Easter morning, may it be more for us than celebrating a great event in the past and then going home to ham or lamb or whatever we're going to have. But may it be we receive it as an invitation to dedicate, place our faith and our trust more fully in the one in whom alone is living and eternal hope. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. And that is why we proclaim with joy, the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.